Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for honoring our Lord and getting into His Word on purpose and studying and finding out what is the truth. And that's what we need to know in these days that we're living right now. And I know that every preacher says in these days, but in our particular time right now, 2022, we didn't live in all the Philadelphia era and all them other churches. We live in the one now, and we can talk about what's going on in it, and it's waxing worse and worse. And in Peter it says a perilous time shall come, and they're here. Perilous times are here. You can get on the news anytime you want to and pull up something. You ain't even got to pull it up, it'll pop up about somebody that has killed somebody, or somebody that has massacred somebody, or somebody that has shot up a school, or somebody. I was reading one the other day where a fella took his girlfriend and killed her, and then cut her into 35 pieces. 35 pieces. Cut her body up. Now, what kind of mind is in a person that does something like that? That's devilish stuff. That's devils that cause a human being to think like that. The maniac of Gadara, the Bible says that he cut on himself and lived in the graveyards and was chained and just strong as he could be, and that he'd bust some chains and they couldn't bind him. And he had devils, and the Lord cast them out. And there was two people there, as a matter of fact. But anyway, the times we live in, I thank you for humbling yourself to the Lord and humbling yourself to God's Word. Today we're going to go back into our study of doctrine. A very, very important subject when it comes to Scripture. And the Lord said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine first. Doctrine. And we talked about doctrine. We've had a couple lessons in the past here. Today we're going to go in and talk. I'm going to recap here on the prerequisites of one's doctrine. I know that you probably went back over and studied them scriptures that I give you. If I give them to you, I tend to forget that, but I'll try not to. But you can. Speaking of that, you can get a hold of me at Barnhouse Ministries at gmail.com, and I'll send you these lessons on paper where you can either look on your computer or you can print them out and have them right there in front of you, and they all go right down along. They go right beside, parallel with what we're studying right here. You could have them right in front of you right now, and you'd see exactly what I was talking about. All the scriptures are there. As a matter of fact, some of it's fill in the blank, so you can write it down and remember God's Word with your writing and see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, and just as many things that we can do to get God's Word in us. If you want them, just write me and I'll send them to you. Be blessed to do it. Prerequisites for one's doctrine. Well, what are we talking about when we say that? Well, we're talking about what is required as a prior condition for you to call something your doctrine. Well, it has to be one's belief. You have to believe what you say your doctrine is. There's a lot of people out there. I mean, you don't have to, but you should if you're sincere and you mean it. A lot of people out there that call things their doctrine in the manner of isms. I-S-M-S, they put that on the end of some kind of word and make up a new idea. Matter of fact, I think that's one, idealism. But anyway, it has to be one's belief. It has to be accepted as one's authority. The idea of doctrine is that it's your authority. It's what you believe that's going to have the final say in your life and your decisions. As you're living and what you think's going to happen in the future, what you think about prophecy, what you think, everything you think about. It has to be your authority, and you have to accept it as your authority if you call it your doctrine. If you call it your doctrine. Now, there's a lot of false doctrine out there that people follow that authority, and that authority gives them authorization or gives them the right to go to bed with 9-year-old girls, or at least marry 9-year-old girls and bring them into their home and then get into bed with them at 12 years old. Yeah. Yeah, that's the doctrine they believe, and their final authority issues that doctrine to them. And they believe it. They have to believe it. They believe it, and they accept it as their authority, and they live it. But it's still wrong. The God of heaven would never authorize a man to go to bed with a child. It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. You are not going to have a proper doctrine and a belief system, something that you believe and something that you sincerely are staking your soul on, and a final authority if you're riding on the heels of somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about preachers and your teachers and the people that are teaching you doctrine or people that are teaching you truth and error. I'm talking about just going along with the crowd, you know, showing up. And things like that. It has to be your doctrine, not somebody else. There's a lot of people that are in hell right now and on their way and falling into hell as we speak that have relied on somebody else's ideas and somebody else's so-called doctrine. Okay? Another one. It should have written proof. There's a lot of teachers and so-called prophets out there that have written down their ideas and their words and stuff like that, what they believe to be doctrine and should be somebody's doctrine. A lot of people are following it. It's not a foreign thing for people's doctrine to be written down. One of the very first, all over the Old Testament, when the Lord spoke to the prophets and commanded them to do something and commanded them to speak something, and when he commanded them to write, they wrote it down. And the majority of the times, the actual prophet, he sat there and he spoke the words of God, and he had a scribe there with him that actually wrote the words down that the prophet spoke. You can find that in Jeremiah and some others. But there were some that actually wrote with their own hands, yes. So, it should have written proof. And we have written proof. We have the authority of the Word of God right before us. If you got a Bible, a King James Bible in front of you, you have the inspired Word of God. It does not have error in it. It does not need anybody to explain it or better it. It does not need any kind of correction done to it of any sort. It's not confusing, and it does not confuse anybody except the ones that try to manipulate the Lord. You mess with that book and God's words, and he'll mess with your mind. Yeah. It has to teach and give knowledge. What good is a doctrine? What good is a person doctrine if it doesn't have knowledge and it doesn't teach you not doctrine? It doesn't teach you what's right and wrong. It doesn't teach you what is and what is not. It has to teach and give knowledge. It has to represent and hold the truth, hold to the truth. It doesn't change. It represents what's true, and it holds to the truth. It doesn't change. The Lord said in many places, I am the Lord. I change not. And the Lord's words don't change. Matter of fact, he gave warning about that, taken from his word and adding to his word. Seems like everybody misses that verse for some reason, but they won't miss that judgment. How to give understanding of itself. It has to give understanding of itself. The Lord said, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to labor to find out what God's words are, what they say, and what the sense of those words are that the Lord's speaking to us. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It has to be worthy of adorning. You have to admire it. if you have a good doctrine and you have a doctrine that you believe in, truly believe in, and you trust with your heart, and you're staking your soul on it, you'll adore it. You'll talk about its beauty. You'll talk about its excellence. You'll admire it. Yeah. It has to bring profit, perfection, and truly furnish. It has to bear fruit in you. Your doctrine ain't no good. I mean, what good is it to say you believe in something if it doesn't do anything for you? My God has helped me. Hasn't yours? There's people out there that are claiming the name of Allah, claiming the name of Buddha, claiming the name of this, claiming the name of Thor, claiming the name of all kinds of so-called gods and authorities that issue their doctrine and what for them to believe. And guess what? They don't do anything for their followers. Not one thing. They don't give them eternal life. They don't talk to them about their sin. They don't tell them anything. Our God is honest with us. And sometimes brutally honest. But he's not a brute. He is a kind, compassionate, heavenly Father. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. And he says everybody gets a whooping. So, and what does that tell us? It tells all of us need one. If God says you need a whooping, then you're not doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. But he's a perfectionist about straightening things out with his children. He's a good father. It has to, your doctrine. Now, we're talking about doctrine, prerequisites to doctrine. It has to bring forth good fruit for and in one. If you claim something to be your doctrine and you're following a certain authority's words and you're staking your life and your belief on it, it has to bring forth good fruit for you and in you. It comes from your heart. As you learn it, your heart changes. You absorb God's word and it changes you supernaturally. Yeah. Think about what you was before you got saved and before God the Holy Ghost started changing you. It's a process. And as we yield to him, we change some things, don't we? He's conforming us into the image of Christ. He's perfecting us, sanctifying us. Yeah. Okay. Well, going into today, it's going to be kind of I don't know how to put it. The folly of doctrine, I guess I put it, I've titled it, this section as man's many isms. Man's many isms. And man sure has come up with a lot of isms. I got six pages of two, and I listed them all on there, and I'm sure that's not all of them by now, but 232 different isms. And some of them I can't even pronounce. A man, if he ain't got an ism for something, he'll make one up. And I got 234 of them. 234 plus different isms, each representing a philosophical, political, or moral doctrine or a belief system, including beliefs about proper government and God and the nature and existence itself. All kinds of stuff. Isms. Our Lord didn't come up with Jesusism, did he? It didn't come up with Christianism. We follow a person, not an ism. There's all kinds of isms that people use for doctrine, for moral doctrine, for political things, for philosophical things, for the existence, where things come from. And it goes from A to Z. 234 of them. Let me just mention a few of them that I can pronounce. Accidentalism. Theory that events do not have causes. What else? I'm going to give you some A's and go down through here like we do in the ABCs. Anarchism, a doctrine that all governments should be abolished. You know that one. Don't have any part in that. The Lord teaches us different. Annihilationism, doctrine that the wicked are utterly destroyed after death. They don't read their Bible, do they? Apocalypticism. A doctrine that the imminent end of the world. Well, the Bible tells us about the end of the world and the making of a brand new world. A brand new world. Atheism. You know what that is. Go into the B's here. Buddhism. Capitalism. And the C's there. Belief in the importance of metallic currency. In economics, bullionism. There's an ism for you. Let's see here. What else? Catastrophism. I guess that's how you say it. Belief in rapid geology and biological change. I'm glad I ain't got to memorize all this. Communism. Collegialism, theory that church is independent from the state. Cosmism, the belief that the cosmos is a self-existing whole. Wrong about that. Deism, you know what that is. Dualism, egoism, doctrine that the pursuit of self-interest is the highest good. Is that what the Bible teaches? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible don't teach the doctrine, teach us that the pursuit of self-interest is the highest good. Man, that's what this crazy, stinking world, this relevant New Age world thinks. Me first, you last. That's not what the Bible says. Existentialism, doctrine of individual human responsibility in an unfathomable universe. Fatalism, finalism, functionalism, doctrine emphasizing utility and function. Now, why didn't I have to come up with an ism on that? What kind of doctrine is somebody going to follow about that? Some of these things are nonsense. They come up with isms, Hinduism, hermeticism, holism, a doctrine that parts of anything must be understood in relation to the whole, humanism, humanitarianism. And I'm just going down and saying the ones that I can say. There's a lot on here that I think the longer they are, the more the respected they are by the educated. Introspectionism, doctrine that knowledge of the mind must derive from introspection. Might have done if I didn't know that. Laicism, doctrine of opposition to clergy and priests. Legalism, liberalism, malism, belief that matter is the, materialism, belief that matter is the only existent substance. I wonder if they're going to follow that ism and that doctrine when the Lord burns this place up and dissolves it. That's what the Bible says. Mentalism. Now, there's one I might can compare to. belief that the world can be explained as aspect of the mind. What's the Bible say? Let's see what else. We're in the M's. There's a lot of them here, folks, and I'm not going to waste your time going over all of them. But if you want a copy of it, like I said, just give me send me a note and I'll send them to you. Naturalism. I just put these down to show you the amount and to clarify that man, as far as doctrine goes, that if he don't have a doctrine, he'll make one. if he don't have one that meets his, how you say it, if it don't meet his morality, if it don't meet his morals, that's what a lot most people do that are unsaved and don't care about the Lord and the church also. That's not following that in this Laodicean era. They're conforming to doctrines that adjust to them rather than them adjusting to their doctrine. Nullibilism, denial that the soul exists in space. Omniism, belief in all religions. Belief in all religions. That's got to be confusing. Pacifism. Pantheism. Panentheism. Belief that the world is part, but not all, of God's being. Pansexualism. Theory that all through derived from sexual instinct. Well, that might have gotten more valid nowadays. Theory that all thought derived from sexual instinct. Yeah, it's called perversion. It's called perversion. Pantheism. Parallelism. Perfectionism. Perfectibilism. Billism. If you're pretty smart and you know all these isms, and you're probably laughing about my pronunciation, but that's all right. Polytheism. Positivism. Doctrine that which is not observable is not knowable. Well, that kicks faith out, doesn't it? Kicks faith out. Pragmatism. Predestinarianism. Belief that whatever is to happen is already fixed. Well, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So there's two different. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Don't think that's right. Don't think that's right. Quietism. Doctrine of enlightenment through mental tranquility. Wow. Racism. Realism. Reductionism. Regalism. Representationalism. Doctrine that ideas rather than external objects are basis of knowledge. Republicanism, resistentialism, humorous theory that inanimate objects display malice towards humans. Where do they come up with this stuff? It takes a lot of time sitting around, taking a break out of your comic book to come up with this kind of stuff. A lot of isms, folks. Romanticism. That's a doctrine. Belief in sentimental feeling in artistic expression. Yeah, it's called nudity. Nudity. And pornography. That's what they call it anyway. This ism is romanticism. That's not what it is. The Lord calls it perversion. And things that they should be ashamed of. Scientism. Self-determinationism, doctrine that the actions of a self are determined by itself. Wow. Humanism. Sexism, belief in systematic inequalities between the sexes. Sounds about right today. Socialism. Solipsism. A theory that self-existence is the only certainty. You see how all these things have that word self in it? I never noticed that before. Isn't that interesting? Self, self, self. Me, me, me. My, my, my. Stoicism. Belief in indifference to pleasure or pain. And you can stand there and beat somebody to death and whip them with a cat of nine and just beat them and beat them until they're dead and not think anything of it. And pleasure and pain is the same. There's no difference. Stoicism. let's see. Taoism. Let's see. Theopsychism. Belief that the soul is of a divine nature. Let's go on down through here. Transcendentalism. The theory that emphasizes that which transcends perception. Man, that is just too hard to think about. That's too much. That's too much. Too hard. No wonder these people walking around here jumping out of buildings and everything. Trialism. Trialism. A doctrine that humans have three separate essences. Body, soul, and spirit. Trialism. Well, they're right about it's not an essence, but body, soul, and spirit is correct. Twoism. Theory that individuals have a second or other self. These people are taking doctrine, or they hear, or some of God's doctrine, or some of God's truth passes by them, and they mix it up with some stuff and put another name on it. Put another name on it, but don't give God the glory. You see, if it's not the truth, what is it? It's a lie. The Lord said, "There's no lie. There's no lie that is of the truth." Zoism. We're in the Z's. Doctrine that life originates from a single vital principle. Where would you even go to try to understand that? Here's one. Zootheism. Concept of a god or man in animal form. Well, Satanists do that. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Our God's not in an animal form. He's in a human form. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is in a body that is of human. It's human. But it's glorified now. All right, now, this probably does, this don't exhaust all the isms. I got 234 of them, and we went over probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 of them, and you could spend a whole afternoon going over these things. I think I got 5 or 6 pages I printed out just to see all the differences in this matter. Self, 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 me, 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 no glory for God. Got a little bit of truth mixed in it, body, soul, and spirit and stuff like that, divine qualities, but they attribute it to, like Zootheism, like we just got through talking about the attribution of divine qualities to animals. The Bible says that man's spirit goes up and back to God, which gave it. It says that the spirit of animals goes down. That's what the Bible says. They're saying that animal quality, divine qualities to animals. I believe God uses animals, but it's not the animal's quality. It's not the animal. Animals are animals. Animals don't pray. Animals don't sacrifice. Animals do what animals do. Now, this doesn't exhaust all the isms that are being thought up and imagined in the world today as we wait for the Lord's soon return. And he's coming soon, and even so come, Lord Jesus. You can see why it's important to know what you believe and what you base it on. Remember, the Lord says that there is only one that is true. Do not think the Scriptures teach all this above. The Scriptures don't teach all them isms. They are some of them that have a piece of a truth in it. You can't call it scripture, though. The devil uses ideas and doctrines just like rat poison. It's 90-something percent truth and just a couple percent poison. The Lord says there's only one truth, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says. So whatever whatever God teaches us as doctrine, it will bring us peace. We'll have peace and we'll have joy over it, even if it gets you persecuted or gets you to be a martyr or whatever for the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is truth, and the Lord says, for God is not the author of confusion. What's an author? An author is someone that puts his words in a book. God's words are not confusion. You take all of these 234 and try to understand them, you couldn't tie me up and force me to try to understand this mess and put it in my mind. Ain't no stinking way. I'd blow my stack. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God's word will give you peace. God's doctrine will give you peace. The truth will make you free. Will make you free. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, listen to this. What's endeavoring? Putting your effort forth more than you would usually. Endeavoring. I mean, it matters to you. This is what I'm going to strive for. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now listen to what it says. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Does that qualify any of these isms? Any of them? The Lord said one. One. I got 234 of them here that call themselves doctrine. That's not doctrine. It might be somebody's doctrine, but it's not true doctrine. It's not true doctrine. The Lord doesn't try to confuse us. And when we have the truth, it makes us free and it gives us peace. They come up with stuff in these isms, like voluntarism, belief that the will dominates the intellect. The Lord said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, this list doesn't exhaust all the things that's going on in the world today. And as far as these isms go, I think that the world has kind of put away doctrine, and they're waiting on the Antichrist to step in and tell them how things are. And that there are probably, like I say, there's probably people following these isms, and but I think they're dwindling down, and people are all coming together to conform to the Antichrist and his ways. And it's doing it in a lot of different ways, and you can see it coming. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Well, I'll tell you right there, if they're speaking evil against the way of truth, then what does that make them? Against the truth. And those, excuse me, and through covetousness, oh, there we go, we're getting into it now. Here comes that moral and all the little things of the flesh that make my doctrine. I want this doctrine. Why? Because through covetousness shall they with feigned words, deceitful, feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, it's coming, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter said, they're not going to like where they're going. They're not going to like it. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. When it comes to doctrine, there's a lot of things out there that calls itself doctrine. And a lot of things. All these isms and all this kind of flim-flam that goes on out there. There, you want something to believe in, you can find it. If you're selfish and you want to walk, you want to believe something in your flesh rather than walk in the Spirit, you can find something to believe. And you can consider it your doctrine. And you can believe in it, and you can die and be against God and against what he said about his son, and you can die and go to hell. And that's what the Bible says. All right? Now, I think what we're going to do is we're going to leave this right here because I want to start on this next section. And this is just kind of a brush through all the isms to show you that the Lord says there's only one doctrine, that there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, only one baptism, only one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And it says for us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is he saying? He said, keep what you've been taught. In the other places, in the other script, John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. Now, Jesus is either a liar or either he's telling the truth. And I testify that he is of the truth. Because he has shown me that he is the Son of God and that he is the Word. And that he lines up with his own book, and that he has the power to back up what he tells me, if I will believe him. And he did. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon the name of the Lord back in 1980, 41, 42 years ago, and he saved me. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what was going on or in my life, but I look back now, and I've seen that he's always been there and is still there. And I'm a bit closer to him now than I was back then. We learn these things being in this body and in the world, don't we? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Okay? Now, what we're talking about is this 6 pages here of this Cray 234 plus isms, man's many isms. The Lord tells us not to get involved in that kind of mess. You got no business following or following an ism as your doctrine. You follow that book. You follow a person. You follow God's words. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. And we only had, 4 verses. Let me give those to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Well, besides Paul and laying it down like it is, of course, all the apostles did that in one way or another in their own personal way as far as laying down, putting it in there like one of my teachers used to say, waist high across the plate. I mean, just lay it in there where nobody can misunderstand what's being said. Peter was one of those, and just like the Apostle Paul, to the Gentiles. And we're thankful for him and what the Lord done and for his plan, and that we're on our way. We're not there yet, but we are there. Amen? All right. Well, we'll stop right there. And on the next one, this next portion that we're going to go in on the next recording, we're going to study different statements of doctrine. In other words, the verbal part of doctrine, as far as the churches go, as far as the church and how doctrines are the different statements, how they're stated, like a foundational statement, a traditional statement, and a creedal statement. Churches, you can get online or call in the phone book or something. Well, maybe call in the phone book or something like that and call a church and ask them, what is your doctrine? Do you have a statement? A traditional doctrine of statement, a foundational doctrine, a statement of doctrine, just stuff like that. And what the churches, have in written form, if you will. As far as doctrine and what the church believes, it's not ism. It's doctrine. It's doctrine. Very important to us. Very important. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what your doctrine is? Do you know who you follow or what you follow? Do you know what you stake your soul on? Do you know what you believe? Are you learning what you believe? Yes, you are. You're right here, aren't you? That's probably how you answered me. Well, I'm here. Yes, you are. And the Lord bless you for that. We're to learn and we're to study and to show ourselves approved unto God and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And we are and we want to. And we're doing it because we want to, not because we have to. Because if you wanted to walk away from the Lord, you could do it anytime you wanted. I wouldn't recommend it and you'd be sorry for it. Because he's going to whip tear your hind end up. Besides that, the more we learn about the Lord, the more we fall in love with him. And we love him. And we genuinely love him. And we don't want to be outside of his will. We don't want to displease him, do we? No, we don't. All right. The next thing is different statements of doctrine. And then, after that, that's not very long right there. So in the next one, we'll probably go into the essentials of doctrine. What do you mean by that, Brother Thurman? Well, the necessities. The necessities. We talked about the prerequisites for a doctrine, for you to call something your doctrine. And then the essentials of doctrine, or the necessities. We'll talk about that. Thank you for joining us today, and I really, really admire you for following the Lord and fellowshipping. Isn't it good? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.